Me and him's got the same haircut, and mine's just coming. I got to looking at my hair before I come to church tonight, and my hair is already halfway back up my skull here, Shay, and I'm starting to just go ahead and plan to shave my head and get it over with. But if I do, I'm coming to see either you or BJ and let y'all get me the shiny look going at least. No, it's good to be in God's house tonight. Just going to talk on a little topic tonight. Something that we've heard ever since we was little. I can remember once I started going to school in kindergarten, they carried us out to look at the school buses, and they told us that there's three things that you got to do when you go to load a bus. You got to stop, you got to look, and you got to listen. All this week, Sunday morning, for the call to worship, I come in here and I read Jeremiah 29:11. Sunday morning, Sunday school, God gave me a little bit of a devotion. Jeremiah 29:11. I have not been able to shake loose of Jeremiah 29:11. All week this week, I've wondered, and ever since I found out that I was going to be preaching this Wednesday night, I've wondered, what would it be that God would have me bring? What would it be that God would have me to bring? He said, son, you ain't told them the right thing on Jeremiah 29:11 yet. He said, go to the church tonight, tell them folks that you got to stop, you got to look, and you got to listen. So tonight we're going to be in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, actually verses 8 through 14. You see, when you find your place, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 29, verses number 8, the Bible says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which you have caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me, and when you shall search for me with all your heart. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Lord God, I come to you now, just thank you. Thank you for another opportunity to stand up and proclaim your word. Lord God, I pray tonight that we get ourselves out of the way just so that we can dive on into a portion of your word tonight. Lord God, I pray for the people that's wandered into the house tonight. Lord God, I pray that you just give them open ears, open hearts. Lord God, remove me out of the way so they can hear you. Lord God, I pray that I do not make a mess of this so that when they hear what I have to say, Lord God, they don't see me or hear me, but they hear from you. Lord God, I pray for each and every man, woman, boy, or girl that may have wandered in here tonight that may not know the free pardon of sin. Lord God, I pray that you show them tonight that they all they got to do is stop, look, and listen. Lord God, I pray that you just have your will and way in this church service. Bless the mission team as they're gone. Lord God, I pray that you just keep a hedge of protection around them. Lord God, as they go and brick a building that will soon hold many salvations, Lord God, I pray that you just allow them to have a good weather and, Lord God, good health so that they can finish their job. Lord God, I pray right now for every man, woman, boy, and girl. And I just thank you for another opportunity. It's in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Tonight, I just want to look at that little topic, stop, look, and listen. You see, in the text, the Bible tells us to stop, look, and listen. But things sometimes aren't always what they seem. A lot of the times, as we're going throughout our walk, and as I go throughout my walk, when I'm walking, I don't always pay attention to the stop, look, and listen. I failed at that little exam they gave us when they carried us out to that school bus and said, what's the first thing you do before you get on that bus? I said, I make sure the bus number's right. I do not want to get on this bus and go somewhere wrong. They said, no, you stop, look, and listen. You've got to make sure nothing's coming so nothing can hurt you. Tonight we're going to look at a plan that God has for each and every one of us. It's not the same plan, and not always is it always going to line up with what we want. But we always have to stop, look, and listen. So my question to you tonight that I want you to mull on is, when was the last time that you had to stop, look, and listen to what God told you? When was the last time that you may have had to just stop, look, and listen so that you could hear the Holy Spirit? To see what God would have you to do. When was the last time you had to stop, look, and listen? But my first thing I want to look at tonight is the word stop. Forgive me for how I've got this laid out tonight. I've been on a service truck and at work, and God's been feeding me this while I've been at work. And he said, son, you may not have a pen and pencil, but you got a phone. So I've been putting it down in my notes. I had to get my sister to email it to me. I got to the office going to print it off today in my Microsoft Office Word. Man, it was telling me I needed a password to work that thing, and I'm not tech savvy, and it would not go through. It said, you'd have no access to these documents. I said, man, I just need to print a piece of paper. You know, it's not like it's a crime if I print it. But I'm going to be a little out of sorts tonight, but I pray that we just get on through it. The first thing I want to look at is the word stop. One thing that we got to stop doing that I see in the text is we got to stop being deceived. If you look with me in verse 8, the Bible says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams. Earlier this week, I actually think it was yesterday, Rodney Cagle come in the office. And me being who I am, I had a little plan. McKinley was selling popcorn as a fundraiser, and my daddy likes to eat the hottest stuff known to man. Well, he ordered some habanero cheddar popcorn, and I had to deceive Rodney. I had to. He works with me every day. I just had to make it something enjoyable. So I took me some popcorn, and I took it and put it in a little Ziploc bag. I carried it to the office. I let all the guys try it. I said, now, y'all don't say that it's hot. All of them, man, they got sweat coming out of everywhere. And they said, man, that's hot. I said, y'all do not say nothing when that black Ford pickup pulls in this parking lot. I said, I got to get him. He comes in there, and I say, look what Mama made. I said, man, and man, that's all I had to say. Rodney's reaching that hand out. He said, man, let me get me a piece of that. He takes a big old piece. He took two kernels is all it took. He took two kernels out, and I seen Rodney's face turn red, and I'm talking about, he said, man, that's good. And then the heat hit him. He took off running out of the office. And son, I thought he was washing his mouth out with mouthwash, but it was a Diet Pepsi coming in, and he's slushing it around and spitting it out. I said, my goodness, it must be hot. And I done ate a little bit of it. I knew it had a kick to it. But you see, we must not be deceived. You know, Satan can paint a picture better than anybody you've ever seen. He will make something look so good to you. He will deceive you in a minute. You know, he will dress something up so good that you've got to have it. You've got to have it. That's who we are. We're flesh. You've got to have it. You know, and I get to sitting there thinking about it, you know. Even though he dresses that up, as soon as he dresses it up to where we want it, as soon as we take it, that automatically puts a driving wedge right between our relationship with us and Jesus Christ. And that's what he's trying to do. That's why his whole purpose of deceiving us is there. He wants to get our attention away from Jesus so that we might give him a little bit of time. In the end all, he's lost. That there's nothing that he can offer you that it beats anything that God has to offer. So do not be deceived by him. If we could be deceived, and we could continually be deceived, there would be no reason for Jesus Christ dying on a hill called Calvary, on a cross that had our names on it, taking three nails, bleeding and dying, and making a promise on top of this that says he was going to die and he was going to resurrect on that third day. There would have been no reason, if we could continually be deceived, there would be no reason for him to have done that. So we must stop being deceived. But not only must we stop being deceived, but we must stop being discomforting. You see, a lot of times in my walk, I've noticed that I don't always come across as the most friendly person. You wouldn't think that, but in the line of work I do, a lot of the times my nerves get a little pulled. So sometimes I don't come across the nicest person. And I notice in my walk that sometimes I may say a word or two that I don't intentionally mean. I used to get so many whoopings growing up because my mama said, it's not how you said it, it's how you meant it. Or it's not how you meant it, it's how you said it. And, you know, I had a bar of soap put in my mouth one time because of that. But you see, the thing is that the way you say things can bring discomfort or it can bring comfort to a brother or sister in Jesus Christ. We're going to look at a plan tonight. The whole thing I want to look around is that there is a plan for each and every one of our lives. But we must stop looking and listen to it. For a man that's just now come to know Jesus Christ, it is very important that we as a brother and sister in Jesus Christ does not say nothing that brings discomfort to them so that we do not turn them away. I've been there. When I first come back to knowing Jesus, I had a couple of issues come up. The things that I wanted to do, the things that I wanted to act, the things that I wanted to go and hang out with, the people I wanted to hang out with, they brought discomfort to me. Because they come back to me and said, man, you're a hypocrite. There's a bunch of times where I went and I tried to see them and tried to get them to come to church because the Hagin that they knew before was not the Hagin that is still here. The Hagin that was there before loved to do them things, but I can't do them no more. Because that brings discomfort. But it may not bring discomfort to only us, but it brings discomfort under God. When you go to and you get saved, you must stop bringing discomfort. But not only must you stop being deceived or stop being discomforting, but you will automatically, if you even get a glimpse of, or if you can even say that you have been either one of those, you automatically fall into the next category that I want to talk about. We must stop being disobedient. If you ever can sit there and say that you have been discomforting, or if you have been deceived, you have been disobedient. Because if you was obedient, neither one of them two things would have happened. You know, disobedience is the act. Disobedience is the act of doing the opposite of what we're told. A lot of the times I struggle with that. I like to do things on my own. I like to do it my way. And with me wanting to center this around the plan that God has for my life, a lot of the times I want to say that His plan don't look as good as what I think mine could look. I think I could take a right turn sometimes and it'd still be all right. It might be even a little bit better. But never is it better. You know, when Christ tells us to stop, we've got to stop. So when it comes from either being deceived, being discomforted, or being disobedient, you must stop. But not only must we stop, but we must look. One of the biggest things, that's my second point, we're going to look, see what we mean by look. The second thing I want to look at is look. So one of the biggest things that I ever had to come to grips with was when I come back to knowing Jesus Christ, and I'd been living for the world, and I got out of living for the world, and I come back to a church that was loving and as caring as it is here at Union Chapel. One of the biggest things that I had a problem with was that I felt oddball. I felt like an oddball because the way that I had lived and the group that had invited me, Riley Cagle had invited me to church here, and that group that he was running with, that it just didn't line up because I still was taking baby steps, getting back to where God wanted me to be. So the first thing I want to look at is that we need to look to the following. And what I mean by the look to the following is those that are along the same path as you. When you first come to know Jesus Christ, you're going to get a fresh start. The people that you ran with before is not who you're going to run with. So you've got to find you somebody that is following the same path that you're on. Not the path that they're on may not be the same as yours. Because each and every one of us has our own unique plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says that He gave us a plan. He says that He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for me. He's got a plan for every one of us. And if it was the same plan, we'd be the same person. So we all have different detours that we're going to take to get there. But you got to find somebody or a group of somebodies that you can get along or get in there with, and they will help you get to where you need to be. My friend group here at the church, which is all of you, but the ones that I hang out with the most, which is Riley, Savannah, and the other Riley, and Lee, and Jake, and JD, and all of us, we all had a lot of things in common. It took me a while to figure it out. It took me a while to figure out that even though I don't have them desires that I once had, it took me a while to realize that God will take those and give you a whole nother set of desires. But once He gives you a set of desires, we must then look to, after we started running with that group of the following, we must look to the faithful. The faithful is going to play a big part in your walk. It's going to be a big part of your plan. The faithful is those who that will always be trying to do the Father's will. They will go out of their own way to do what the Father wants them to do. You must always stay looking unto them. When times get tough, when times are tough in our plan, and it seems like our plan may not look as good as others, you're going to wish you had somebody to lean on. I've seen it time and time again. As I go throughout my daily walk, I am thankful, even though I tried to burn his taste buds out of his mouth, I'm thankful that I've got a deacon of the church and my best friend's daddy riding with me every day. Because it could be somebody that listens to horrible music or may have a potty mouth, even though I'm sure he wanted to give me a potty mouth when I gave him that popcorn. You know, it could be somebody that I don't need to be around. But I'm thankful that God's told me to look unto the faithful, and He placed somebody that was faithful with me, because it makes my walk a whole lot easier. But not only we have to look to the following and to the faithful, but you got to look to the future. One of my biggest things was that I always dwelled in the past. I always thought about what I might have done, and I always struggled that somebody might would judge me for where I've been and what I've done, Rocky. I've always thought somebody would judge me, Riley. But you see, you've got to not dwell on the past. Your plan's not going to take you back to your past. The plan that God's given you is not going back to your past. It's a plan that He has made specifically for you to get you to where He wants you to be. And then once you get to where He wants you to be, He's going to take you a step farther. He's going to give you a home in heaven. So you don't have to worry about your past anymore. But if you ever wonder where if you're right where your plan needs to be, it's not your plan anyways. You're on His plan. We've all been told that we're on His time clock. We've all been told that it's never our time, but it's His. It's no different than the plan. The plan that He has for your life is no different. But not only do we have to look, but we have to listen. We have to listen to the lost. As bad as it is to say that, we have to listen to the lost. You'll see in the text right up here on verse 8, it says, "Let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, for which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord." You've got to listen to them. There's going to be a time where we all encounter somebody that has a problem with how we live. You've got to listen to them. But you can always turn the other cheek. Don't ever just resist back up and try to get even with them, because that's not what God's called us here to do. He saved us out of love to show love. We have a reason to be here. And there's a reason why the lost may be in your plan. God works in mysterious ways. I have the opportunity to go and carry people propane a lot of times. And I never would have thought that God would put me on a propane truck and give me the opportunity to witness to people as much as He has. You never know the door that He's going to put in front of you that you may open and that He'll use. So when you come in contact with that lost man that may say you're a liar, or he may say that you're no good, you're a hypocrite, there's nothing good about you, you're just telling a big fib. You're living a fib. You've got to always hold on. Because that same man, you may bump into him again. God may use you because He's done put you there once. Your plan may involve helping him get his plan started. You've got to always stay true to the plan. And you've got to listen. But not only do you have to listen to the lost, But you have to listen to the long faithed. I can't tell you on my 10 fingers I've got, I can't count how many times that I've got the opportunity to go and talk to an elder of a church, and they will blow your mind. Because for every valley you've been in, they've been there. It may not be the same valley, but they've been in something either just like it or bad close to it. You know, growing up my whole life, I was blessed with grandparents on both sides of my family that would tell me stories of their valleys, where their plan just didn't seem like it was what they wanted it to be. That their plan just did not seem exactly right. You know, I was blessed just to be able to get them to tell me that. But when they went through them tough times, they was the ones that told me that you've got to hold on. You've just got to trust His plan. Because I've been there, I've been through a valley, and God brought me out. So when you go through your valleys, you're going to get brought out. You're going to get brought out. But the elders of the church are very important. To a man or a woman, a boy or a girl that's just started to walk in the Christian faith, an elder is very important. I had a man that lived up the road from me, and I never really counted him as an elder of the church because I didn't go to the church with him. But let me tell you something. If I could ever go back and see him again, he died a couple years ago. I enjoyed going and sitting and talking with him because he'd tell me all the highs and lows of his life and how he made it through it. He's seen life way well before I did. He's done been through it. He knew it. He had an answer for everything. Mr. Shorty would always tell me that if I ever needed something, you come see me and I'll help you through it. An elder, not necessarily an elder of the church, but an elder of the faith, has a big part in a new Christian's life. Trust God when He tells you to go talk to one of them. Don't be scared to go talk to them. I've not seen not one old person yet that's bit when I went to try to talk to them. Not one of them bit me. Not one of them's hit me. Not one of them's been rude to me. 90% of the time, they're just thankful I'm there. You've got to be able to go and talk to the elders. So we have to listen to the lost. We have to listen to the long faith. But the most important thing we can listen to is the Lord. In verse 13, the Bible says, "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." All the things that I've talked about tonight are irrelevant if you do not talk to God about it. Going and talking to the elders, irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Because if you don't know God and you don't talk to Him about it, you may be messing up your plan. You've got to have a plan before you can actually go out and ask others about your plan. You've got to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior before you can ever start going out and asking for any kind of information. We always hear of a saying that said, "He is the man with a plan." Jesus Christ is the man with a plan. Our plan, when our plan don't seem like it's going right, He is the man with a plan. He is the one who holds us in His hand. No matter what we go through, He's still got us. The word says that there's not one thing that can pluck Him or pluck us from His hand. There's not one thing that can pluck us from His hand. He will always have your back. Always have your back. I've learned in my life that no matter how hard I try to do things, my way, or the way that we as Christians consider the right way, if it ain't God's way, it ain't going to work. There's been times where I've sat there and wondered, man, if I do this, man, it'll make me look good. But if I do it, what's the consequences? Because everything you do has got a consequence. Everything you do has a consequence. But you've got to realize that as long as God's telling you to do it, you'll be rewarded for it. That consequence will be a reward. You must do what He tells you to do. He's faithful and true to see us through. So we've got to listen when he talks. But tonight, I've shared with you what's been on my mind. Even though it's been choppy and it's been short and sweet, I pray that you stop, look, and listen. Whenever you think your plan is not going to plan, your plan may not be going as planned, stop, look, and listen, because you'll find him everywhere. He'll reveal himself to you in the most awkward way, if I can say it that way. If I can tell you anything, he's around us all the time, and he's not going to let us go backwards. Your plan's not made to fail you. It's to give you an expected end. It don't say an unexpected end. It says an expected end. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to fail you. So my question to you again tonight is, when is the last time that you stopped, looked, and listened? You know, if you usually do it, if you don't usually do it, try it. I've had to stop, look, and listen a lot the last couple of days because I'm not sure if this is where God wanted me to come from. I didn't know if I was doing what God wanted me to do. But at the same time, you'll hear a still, small voice just pop up in that ear and say, just do it. It'll be all right. Don't worry about anything. Just do what I told you to do. We must be obedient. But I want to tell one more story, and then I'll get out of the way. We went on a trip to Disney World not long ago. And the last time I flew was in 2002. I was 4 years old. In 2002, we boarded a plane and went to Birmingham. And for some odd reason, ever since then, I can't really remember the part. I lived through pictures. So I could never remember what we done. So Daddy and them come up with the idea, hey, we're going to go to Disney World. So back in March, we took off. Before we went, man, I got on YouTube and I virtually rode every roller coaster that was there because I want to know what to expect. Well, nothing that I rode on YouTube compared to that airplane flight that we was on. Because in 2002, I was a little bitty old dude. And we flew just like we did from Birmingham to Orlando in 2002. I didn't remember it being 45 minutes stuck on a plane in between two other people. And me being 300 pound plus, you know, I didn't remember it being awkward to sit there and you, a little kid that you don't even know, falling asleep on your shoulder and then just stretching out on you. I didn't remember that. But you see, I had to learn. I had to learn that it was okay. Well, we hit some turbulence. And that's when I got a little iffy. I did not like hitting that turbulence. For some reason, I sat on the window seat, and I wanted to see what I could see. So I popped that little window up, and we was hitting that turbulence, and I looked out there at that wing on that plane, and that sucker was giving it that number right there. I pulled that window down and closed my eyes and started praying. I said, Lord God, if you do anything, get me off this plane. They come over the intercom, and they started saying, here's our emergency landing protocol. Since we're hitting turbulence, we want to go over it with you. We forgot to do it when we started. And all they done for us, Brother Les, was they took a life jacket out and gave us a life jacket and gave us an O2 mask. I said, what does that going to do? What good is that for when we're falling 40,000 foot out of the sky? What is a life jacket going to do for you? Man, it had me shook up, worried to death. I was scared we was going to die. My papa has always told me he didn't like to fly. If God gave us wings, that's the only way we're supposed to fly. And I said, man, after that trip, I realized papa was right. But when we hit that turbulence, after they come up and gave us that crazy, crazy speech they gave us about the life jackets and the O2 mask, he come over the intercom and he said, just relax, folks. I'm the man with the plan. He can't see everything that's going on. And that blows my mind, too, that they ain't even looking where they're going. They're just watching a TV screen. But he's the man with a plan, so I put my trust in him. All because him being the man with a plan, knowing what he was doing, and I didn't have a clue what he was doing, I trusted him because he said he was the man with a plan. If I can give you anything about what I've read tonight and you don't take nothing else from what I've said, just know that Jesus Christ is the man with a plan. No matter what you go through, no matter what kind of situation you find yourself stuck in, He is the man with the plan. And that just because you go through a valley don't mean that you'll never see the mountaintop. You've got to sometimes go through that valley with all them briars and kookaburras and all that old nasty junk. You've got to go through that just to get on top of a very clear mountaintop. Just trust Him. Trust Him. Because after all, He is the man with the plan, and He'll see you through. Let us pray. Lord God, I come to You now. Just thank You for another day. Lord God, I thank You for just another opportunity to stand up here and preach. Lord God, I pray that You saturate what I was saying tonight. Lord God, I pray that I didn't make a mess of it. Lord God, I thank You for being the man with the plan that controls what we do. Lord God, even when it seems like we're stuck in the valley, we know that You're still the same in the valley as You are on the mountaintop. Lord God, I pray right now that You just take what we hear tonight and You just apply it to our lives so that the next time we get in that situation that we don't understand why we're there, that we can always say, hey, it's okay. We can trust in You. Lord God, I pray for the man, woman, boy, or girl that may not know anything about a plan, that may not know anything I'm talking about tonight, that may be in this house this afternoon. Lord God, I pray that You just show them to stop, look, and listen and let You do the work. Lord God, I thank You. Thank You for such a loving church family here at Union Chapel. Lord God, I pray that You just put a double portion of blessings out on this place. Lord God, I pray that You keep that mission team safe once again. Lord God, I love You and I thank You. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.